outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey. The God Journey. The God Journey.
Well, it's Easter week, Kyle. This will air on Good Friday.
It is Easter week. You have any big plans?
Hey, we have come north about 5 hours. Sarah and I are up in the High Sierras with my dad, and so we're doing this podcast remotely. I don't have my normal equipment, so it's probably going to be a bit rustic, but our big plans were for my daughter's family and her kids to be up with us over the weekend and celebrate Easter up here, but they ended up having a change of schedule, so they came up early in the week, and they just went home today. So now Sarah and I have some time alone with my nearly 96-year-old father, and that's special. So we're really going to enjoy that and Easter with him. It'll be cool.
That'll be a good weekend. Quiet, but also sounds like some good memory possibilities.
Always. And you, what do you guys got going?
We've got family coming in from Western Michigan. So Jess's sister and brother-in-law are coming in. And then we're kind of doing our Easter celebration on Saturday because I have siblings that are going to spend time with their in-laws. And so, yeah, our family's decided to get together and do Easter Sunday on Saturday.
The Rices are celebrating on Saturday, and then you guys will have a quieter day on Sunday then.
That's right. We'll probably just enjoy some time with family.
So the Rice COVID spreader event will be on Saturday.
Yes. That will be the central landing hub of the COVID spread amongst the Rice family.
Well, Sarah and I got our second vaccine, so...
Oh, nice.
We're that much closer to whatever. I had a little bit of a reaction to it on Sunday night, day and a half after I had the shot, actually. I had a little bit of a kind of a headachey, nauseous thing, but it lasted all of about 10 minutes. And then I was weak for, about 24 hours. I was abnormally weak. And then things have returned to normal. So
now, does this mean you are going unmasked, or are you going to still be masked up? And
yeah, CDC says masks are still a good idea. So yeah, we're going to keep masking. I'm not sure that how much of a health concern that is for us. Mm-hmm. I think that more has to do with, let's not really tick off the people who haven't had the vaccine yet. So if we all just kind of keep participating together, and for the community aspect of that, I'm all in. I'm all in to say, hey, if all the people who've been vaccinated get to take off their masks and run around and eat indoors and do things that other people who can't have the shot yet can't do, that just kind of has a bad feel about it. So we're going to respect that a bit.
Well, and do you think that as you've gotten the vaccine and as the things are kind of shifting in community around the U.S., do you feel like you might start traveling again? Or is that not a door you want to consider yet?
It depends. I've actually got a trip scheduled next month.
Oh, nice.
Part of a work we're doing with Language of Healing in a college in Texas. So it looks like I may go into Texas. So we're going to see how that works out. It's a little bit, I'm not looking forward to going back to airports and having nothing to do with COVID. Just I've enjoyed my year away from all that.
Okay.
So it looks like, yes, some of that travel may start happening, but we're going to kind of go at it pretty slowly. I finished up the My Friend Lewis stuff last week. So
awesome.
It really feels like that break between projects where I don't know what's next. I don't care what's next. It's a great week just to hang out with the kids and then now to hang out with Sarah. And somehow next week we'll kind of get back to, okay, God, what's next on your plate for Wayne?
That sounds like a wonderful break, and I would encourage you to take advantage of it.
Oh, don't worry, man. The High Sierras are the best place to take a break like that, man.
I agree with you.
It's nice. It's in the 60s during the day. It's a little cold at night. There's still snow on the ground, but not much. It's kind of all melting away. So it's just beautiful up here. It's a beautiful time of year, and we were up. We took the grandkids for a hike up into the wildfire areas the other day, the wildfire scar. And, man, it just how hot, how whatever that must have been just to walk through and see the damage to the trees and to the ground. And it was a neat time to be there with my grandkids and just talk some of that through. So that was fun.
Wow.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Kyle Rice.
And welcome to this edition of The God Journey. As I said, it may be a little more rustic. I'm not sure how this audio is going to come out. The one advantage, though, we could possibly put up the recorded version, Kyle, of us on video. So people want to see how this podcast looks when we do it. Might put it up, or at least a clip of it, so people have a look at it. Might as well make some functional use out of the fact that we're recording via Zoom this time instead of on my studio stuff at home. But
that'd be fun.
We'll see how that happens. For my restful week, interestingly enough, I have had this my third appointment today, so I'm a little bit worn out on the Zoom thing, but had amazing prayer time this morning with the folks that we've been gathering with that I know a couple of weeks ago. We shared just a little about it. It's not something that I'm really trying to get people excited about, the fact that we're doing that. But the thing we talked about gaze with me, not just at me, that we talked about a while back. And we've watched that kind of grow. I really feel like the momentum of this corporate prayer thing just excites my heart. Just not only because the thing has been just incredibly encouraging, watching various pieces of a puzzle come together, but it's really changing my prayer life. I mean, it's transformational in situations I'm involved in, and I'm praying about something or someone, and then I'll sense that God just saying, don't just gaze at me. And I've gotten used to, you know, people can't see this, but when I pray for someone, I actually just have an image of holding them in my hands before God, just holding them. So God's there, they're here, I'm here. And I was doing that with someone last week, and God just said, no, come gaze with me. As I was praying with God, just looking at it over some series of time, and praying for the need that's there, he just says, don't look at the symptom. I was not thinking what I was looking at was a symptom. I thought it was the problem.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it wasn't. It was only the symptom. And it was like God's not too bugged about that system, that problem in their life. That there's something more at a root level causing that. And so now I'm with the family in a bit of a discovery about where that goes.
Wow. Okay.
Which is fun, because now we feel like there's an insight as to what that may be out of a question that seemed to be really Holy Spirit given. So that was really fun. And then today, as we were sharing some of that and talking today, because I'm really learning, gosh, what is it that God reveals out of the corporateness of prayer? Which, as I said, most of the prayer meetings I've been, they've been corporate, but just everybody's praying all kinds of different stuff. But it's not a – this feels like now we're like in a jigsaw puzzle, and God gives us some more puzzle pieces. And we don't know where they all go. We're not even trying to figure it out. In fact, we kind of concluded today with the thing that Mary had in her heart about when the angel comes and visits her. She just said, and the people come and giving her prophecies. And she says, Mary just pondered all these things in her heart, which I think is just let's just ponder what God's showing. Let's not try and write up a schematic new version of prayer. Let's not do anything. Let's just hold it in our heart, because we don't have enough pieces to make conclusions. We're just discovering. But today, one of the things that God seemed to add to that was, not just come gaze with me, like get your perspective around here and all that, but out of my rest, when God ceased from his labors and he, on the seventh day, rested after created all that he created, he rested. And there was a real theme of how we get really, even in prayer, the human effort angle comes up, and we pray out of our anxieties and our fears and our desperation. And it was like God inviting us into his cabin, kind of interesting that we're sitting up here in the mountains, but you know, come in and gaze with me, but gaze out of my rest and playfulness. Because my best work happens there. It doesn't happen desperation, anxiety. We've all had those white knuckle prayer sessions that seem to be like God didn't even care. Rather than we just maybe miss the way God invites us to engage him. And it was, you know, as you're learning to gaze with me, gaze out of that rest. And it was like, okay, now there's another 6 month learning curve at least minimally. And so I'm excited to see where some of this goes, but I just came away from today going, man, I, not just for this group and what we're praying about in terms of the world, but even in the situation of a specific family, these things are, and there's so many other ways where my, and I love gazing at God, and I do a lot of gazing at God. I do a lot of gazing at Sarah. I, you know, in a communication, there is that. But I'm learning, man, just there are times when it just feels like the Holy Spirit says, okay, now come gaze with me. And now it's not what I want God to do. It's God, what are you doing? Which I've prayed that before, but this is very different.
Yeah.
That's been a whole lot of fun.
So when he has you, when he drew you into the cabin, had you gaze with him, but in a restful way, what was it like just sitting in the presence? What it sounds like is you were just sitting in his presence, looking at it, but there wasn't any pressure to do anything. It was just a, I don't even know. The image that I have that comes to mind is when I'm sitting on a mountain peak after I've done some hard work to get to the top, and now I'm just sitting and enjoying the view. Like I'm resting and I'm enjoying the beauty, and there isn't any work to be done, and it's just, I'm just there and I'm just present. Is that, so I want to hear what your thoughts are with that, or how that experience was for you.
Yeah, I don't think we felt like we got there, quote unquote. I think we you know, there was this invitation come in now, and now it would be like God inviting us into his home, mm-hmm. you know, in my father's house or many places as well. So just come in, sit down, let's relax. And I turned around, there's one whole wall that like those big fancy cabins, not like ours, where the whole wall is glass.
Okay.
And this 2-3 story peak. And you look out over the mountain vistas and ranges out there. That's a picture I had. That's not the home I'm in at all. But I just felt like, oh my gosh, just to sit here and look at this with him, everything under his control, God's doing his work in the world. He's inviting us to come alongside that. And we got to that right at the end of our time. So we didn't like really have a lot of time to sit there and just bask in it. And there was in my heart the feeling like, I really need to learn what this means. It's not as simple as just, we saw that, now we're doing it. Mm-hmm. It's, wow, this is a growth curve. I'm really wanting to learn to sit in God's. And the two words were rest and play.
Mm.
And that's kind of a weird, not all everybody's comfortable with play in God. I got yelled at a lot for the shack. You made God way too playful in that. And I'm going, but that's the God I know.
Yeah.
And that's the Jesus in the Gospels. There's times when he's intensely serious.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times when he's uproariously playful. And he encourages us to be childlike. And childlike is all about play. That's my grandkids are all about play. And the play part of humanity, I think, is the innocent divine part, not the serious stoic religious thing, but that. So we really didn't feel like, oh, we got there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God's opening a door to say, come join me here.
Mm.
But now we've got 2 weeks to each of us explore it. And then we'll come back together and talk about what do we see?
Mm.
And that's what we did this time. We just got together from what we shared the time before. And said, okay, what have you processed?
Yeah.
And then we spent so much time doing that, that the actual time of, I mean, that was the very last thing was God just said, come and gaze with me in my rest and playfulness. So we'll see where that goes. I don't really know. I'm just excited to be growing it. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me in terms of prayer that is more intercessory in nature, but not religious. And I'm just really thrilled to know where this goes. Because it's a lot of it, it's 99% new.
Wow, I love that.
So we'll see.
I'm on I would say, in a different area of life, I'm on a similar venture.
Good.
I've just been really processing even more with God about what's on your heart for where I'm at right now, and how do I engage people around me? And I've been working with a company out of Wisconsin, a couple that own a life coaching company, and we've been doing a bunch of partnership stuff together. And this idea of coaching and just walking with people through the journeys that they're in has been on my heart since I was young. But I really felt this nudge to just put it out there to my Facebook community and not promote it hard, like not push it hard, but just say, hey, like, would it be a resource for anybody to, if I was just to host a Zoom life coaching session for late teens, mid 20 somethings about the process of adulting as they're moving.
Adulting.
Yes.
Okay. Like being an adult.
Yes.
As a verb.
Yes. Being like an adult.
Okay.
So
I don't know if I've heard adulting before.
Well, it is sadly, it is a trendy word that has come up for millennials and post millennials.
Why sadly?
Well, because
it's needed.
It's needed. And unfortunately, a lot of young adults are not being taught how to move from high school into that adult stage. So what does that look like to move from high school to college or high school to career and basic life skills, like having the self-assurance to press into more meaningful relationships, both romantically and interpersonally. What does it look like to go and find an apartment and to get your utilities for the first time? What does it mean to actually have to manage your finances because I've got bills to pay and my decisions around my finances actually count right now? What do I do? Like, how do I figure out where to go with my life? Like there's so many of these pressures in regards to, okay, do I go to college? Do I specialize? If I don't go to college and don't get on this specialization track, will I get left behind? And there's just so much pressure in that process. And then when you throw on top of the fact that these last, you know, the, this last graduating class, this last high school graduating class, they graduated during a international trauma, a global trauma where the world came to a stop and everything that we knew to be familiar kind of got rocked a little bit and got challenged and got put into question. And so not only are they in this questioning stage of life where they're really trying to sort out who they are and what they want to do with their life outside of the influence of their parental system, outside of the norms that they're used to, but then you have a, you throw in a global pandemic that the world hasn't seen in several decades, especially at this scale. And it, man, it's been really interesting. And so, so I just put that out there to some friends.
But back up a little bit, because how significant is that that they missed even like the rites of passage of graduation and family gathered around as a launch into, I know that was big in my childhood. That may not be as big today. But the whole graduating high school and launching and whether you go to college or mission or whatever it is that you go to, how significant was it that they missed all that from their peers as well as their extended family community?
The students that I've talked to, it was huge.
I bet.
Because, you know, you're looking at some pretty major milestones that are landmarks for people to look back on. And those landmarks basically got blasted. You know, your traditional graduation ceremony, prom, that's always like a big thing for the seniors. That didn't happen. And like some of the students that I talked to, you know, they were trying to, you know, they were trying to have their own prom celebrations, or they went out just with a few friends in their prom dresses to try to commemorate that, or their prom outfits.
And the aftermath of that, you think, is what? Well, I mean, we know that they missed those things, like, but what do you think the after, you say it really impacted them. What's the impact?
Disorientation.
Oh.
So some of those things that bring natural closure to a season of life, they didn't have them. And so now it was like, all of a sudden, their worlds got thrown into chaos, and then they went on to the next thing.
Wow.
There was no, like, actual closure that took place for them. And I know at the time, I was working as a guidance counselor. And I tried my best to work with our seniors and to try to make sure that they had a plan and preparation for them transitioning to career or college or military or whatever that would look like. But they were under so much other stressors, you know, being isolated at home, having family issues that were going on, not even sure if they were going to be able to go to college and be able to have the college experience. So a lot of these students felt like, in some regards, that they were really robbed.
Oh, sure.
That they really missed out, and there was that something was very important, a very meaningful season of their life was stolen from them. So there was a real grieving, disorientation, pretty significant anger. There was some anxiety and depressive type symptoms that started really showing up. So those were just a few of the things that I began to see with students.
Okay, so you got some people that said they were interested, huh, in hanging out with you?
Yeah. Yeah, so I had a few people that, so we did two different sessions, one for juniors and seniors in high school, and then one for 19 to 25-year-olds that were either in college or just out of college. And it was just one of those nudges, Wayne, and yeah, it was so cool.
Wow.
I got into the second session with the young adults that were post-high school, and the issues that they were facing, the fears. So one of the themes that we talked about last week was the impact of fear in your life. And what does that look like? How do they perceive fear? It was so cool because in our first session, I just put it out there to them. I said, hey, like, I'm not sure what this is going to look like. I don't know where this is going to go, but I just wanted to create a sounding board and a resource as somebody who is 35, married, has a kid, does not have it all figured out, but is fairly closely connected. Like, I'm not too far out of the adulting process, but I'm also far enough through it that I can cast some vision of hope and a little bit of wisdom on how to navigate some of it.
Now, in times past, we would have thought that would just come from normal parenting.
Correct.
But they've been talking for a long time, maybe the last 10 years, that kids post high school aren't ready to thrive as an adult. Marriage has been pushed way off. I know I got out of high school going, go to college, I'm going to get married, did at 22, raising kids at 25. Now marriage has been pushed back late 20s, early 30s, mm-hmm. and having kids much later than that. What changed? It wasn't just COVID. So what changed before COVID that were parents just less engaged helping their kids get there? Or did they think the schools were doing it? What do you think? Do you have any thought of it? Because you grew up during that time when all that moved so far.
That's such a multidimensional challenge.
You're welcome. No problem.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I think one thing is a major shift in the family system. So, you know, for a lot of it, parents were not either as engaged. A lot of families were from double income families. So both the parents were working. So the amount of time that they had to contribute to the family system was very different. So that was one piece. I think also the whole concept of the lawnmower and helicopter parent. So the lawnmower parent is the parent that drives the lawnmower in front of them and cuts down all of the challenges and opposition that might stand in front of them. And they just kind of truck in the path behind them. And then on the flip side, the helicopter parents that are hovering over them. And yes, they can kind of have adventures, but not really, because the parent is ready to swoop in and pick them up and hold on to them and coddle them in a moment's notice and honestly fight their battles. I mean, you see specifically in education where, you know, a student will do something and it will, like, the student will misbehave, or it'll be a conduct issue, or honestly at times like just a laziness or a character issue. And instead of the parent backing the learning process and backing that growth process of, man, you need to take ownership of this, you need to embrace the uncomfortable situation that you're in and move forward through it. Instead of them allowing them to have that experience, they go in and they attack the school, they attack the administration, they place the blame anywhere but on their holy child that, of course, can do no wrong.
Yeah, sad.
And yet, you know, I remember working, when I was working at EWC, I remember hearing this like screaming from down the hall coming from one of our women's wings. And I was like, okay, what's going on? And this is at like 11 p.m. at night. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, like what's happening here? And so I walk down to the room and I knock on the door, and there's four international students. They're all yelling at each other because none of them has ever cleaned a bathroom. And none of them had no idea. They were both trying to like, oh, we need to clean our place because it was coming up on winter break. And so they had to, like, they had room inspections and to make sure that their rooms were clean. Yeah. None of them had ever cleaned a toilet. None of them had ever cleaned a shower. None of them had ever used a mop before. And they were all shouting at each other because they'd never been taught this.
Wow.
And I was like, how on earth have you gone an entire semester without cleaning your bathroom? First of all, that's disturbing.
That is very disturbing.
Four girls, not a good situation.
These were girls too, huh?
These were female students.
You would think it'd be the guys who would have less of that, but that's my old sexist background growing up, where we didn't necessarily do a lot of that and the ladies did, but now it changed. But
yeah, and it's across the board.
It's sad how late we've moved everything in life. You know, Sarah and I were very much wanting our kids at 18 to be able to thrive, whether they went to college or got a job or whatever they did, that you would be ready mm-hmm. to thrive. And we'd be in the background, so if you need a backstop, you know, we'll catch you. But we're also not driving that for you, that you've –
yeah.
There's got to be – and I wonder how much of it just an aversion to risk, that maybe that helicoptering, lawnmowing parent thing is just – I don't know what to do. I get paralyzed and don't do anything. So I don't get a job. And we know a family yesterday was talking about their 21-year-old kid. Won't get a job. And the parents are trying to get him out to their own apartment. Mm-hmm. Kid won't do it. Kid's just resistant. They don't know how to do it without absolutely killing their relationship with their son. But they're willing to risk that if that's what needs to be done. It's just – I would say it's a pandemic, but it's being overshadowed by another pandemic. But there's an awful lot of that where, sadly – for the child, not just, you know, blaming the parents or anything like that, just sadly for the child that at 18, you don't have the sense that you can face a challenge, thrive through it, find a way to make it work. And if your plan A doesn't work. There's B, C, and D, and you can shift mm-hmm. gears. And I mean, I had all that coming off the farm at 18. My kids had it, I think, when they left our home. They've done well beyond that. They both went off to college and have thrived pretty well. It's sad to me when I see kids in their early 20s, late 20s even, not even thinking about mm-hmm. romantic relationship or marriage. It just seems to be more whatever makes me happy today, that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of thinking about the future and money and how I distribute resources or manage resources so that I have enough. And yeah. So you're going to coach some folks like that and see how that happens.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, we've got two groups running, and then we'll be running another one. We've got another one coming up that we're going to start that's going to be opened up to a new cohort of people, because I try to keep it around 6 or 7 people.
You want to give out your email address now, Kyle, so people are listening to this?
Yeah, we can do that. That's okay. I'd be open to doing that.
His email address is at the bottom of every podcast in the notes, so you yep. can get it from there if you want. But yeah, if you open to – if you're a kid listening to this thing, man, I'd love some coaching like that. And it's neat that you're doing that. Sad maybe it's so necessary, but a great need to address in this community so that kids can figure out how to thrive.
The humbling part for me was, and this is what I love about journeying with God and learning to follow those nudges, is I literally, like two of the students that I was working with, we got near the end of it, and I always have like a takeaway point. So what was the major takeaway from this conversation? And two of the students, or former students, they were in tears. And I was like, what's going on, guys? And both of them said something along the lines of, Kyle, like literally just in the last few days, we've been praying and asking God for him to bring somebody into our life that can be a sounding board and just kind of help us navigate these uncharted waters. And within just a few days, we saw your post come up. And
oh, wow.
And we just really feel like this was God saying, no, I hear you, and I will bring somebody alongside of you. And that was, oof. You want to talk about humbling, like, and fun. Like, it was playful, too. Like, it was that joy of, Lord, this is the beauty of prayer. And this is the beauty of the fact that you are still moving in incredible ways within the community of your world and your beloved.
It's a good reminder too for people about anything. I know when I went on my old geezer tour a couple years back, because I was really contemplating some things. I want to talk to some older brothers and sisters. Sarah and I have always had that in our marriage or raising kids. We'd reach these problematic points. There was always older brothers and sisters that we could contact with, that we had friendships with, so it wasn't just strangers.
Yeah.
And even people, you know, not everybody may want to get in a coaching session like yours, but I tell you what, I'm sure there are some couples, families, parents that would say, man, if a 22-year-old came to them and said, hey, listen, could you help me sort out budgets? And, you know, we had one friend for a while, just grew up in a home where they always ate out and didn't know how to cook, and asked Sarah and I if we would teach her to cook. And we did. She'd come over once a month or twice a month, and we'd have her make a meal, and we'd just teach her that basic life skill because she just never had it. And there's so much resource in our world that goes wasted because everybody wants to get it from a professional and not realize there's just a marriage over there near you somewhere that has survived for 45 years and actually learned how to love each other. And you've been married 2 or 3. Wouldn't it be great to just go over and say, hey, could you share with us some things about marriage? Or let us ask you some questions where we're struggling. I think that resource is all but lost in our world because we don't do it. Sarah and I have always done. I've always sought out people down the road from me to say, what do you think of this? Sound really stupid? Or does it sound like it might be something worthwhile? And I just think that's a missed resource. So even if they can't get in on Kyle's adulting workshops or whatever, fine. And it can't even be about adulting. It could be about parenting. It can be about just economic stuff. You've gotten your family in a hole and you don't know. Find somebody who manages money well and ask them to help you, because people will. I know Sarah and I have always been honored when somebody wants our help. We don't feel like, no, crud, now we got to help somebody. We really enjoy it.
And it doesn't have to be complicated, right? It's just that simple, as the younger audience asking for the help and saying, Lord, like who in our community around us is living out the characters or the principles or the wisdom that we need in our life right now. And how do we reach out to them?
That's great.
And vice versa for the people who are in different stages of life, but have a heart for a different community or a different audience, just start asking, Lord, who's around you? Who's around me that I can, that is in need of that help? And that's the fun part, is that these are students that are connected to me from either my work at EWC or my work at the previous high school I was at.
That's good.
And now they're a little bit farther down the road, and yet, you know, I've got a Brazilian, a Spaniard. It's just a blast because we've got multiple nations that are coming into this, and not some of them are believers, some of them are not, and that's okay because the questions that they're asking are the same, and it's a beautiful process.
So, have you covered toilet cleaning yet, or are you still working up to
it? We haven't done a Zoom tutorial on how to clean a toilet yet. My wife would probably argue that she's still not sure if I know how to do that, but.
My wife wouldn't even have to argue, my friend. Wow, that's really, that's wonderful. I love that.
God's just had a couple of those opportunities that have come up. In addition to that, I got a call from a good friend of mine in Michigan. I did a guys trip where I basically just do an outdoor retreat and create a space for guys to come together and just do life together. I mean, they usually have to have some type of connection with each other, some mutual friend or whatever. But anyway, long story short, I did this trip with a guy. We were fly fishing together. And well, he texted me this last week and he said, Kyle, I can't go, but there's a group of guys that I really want to connect you with. And they're going to be about an hour and a half north of you. And they're going to be turkey hunting. Is there any way that you would want to go up and meet up with them? And I was like, sure. Yeah, why not? It ended up being one of the most joy-filled days I've had in a while. And with two guys that I've never met before ever, and yet it was just easy, and we just had a blast being out in the wild together and hiking around the hills. And we actually went and were able to do some hunting on our Harrison Ranch. And so I got to fix them lunch, and I just got to be out in the outdoors and enjoying it. It was so cool because just how God invites us into that play and invites us into that rest. And yet so often we ignore those nudges, right? Yeah. Like we don't think of those as like they were giving me a hard time. They were just kind of harassing me. They're like, yeah, who would drive? Like they were talking about crazy people, and they had this conversation they were telling me about this crazy guy that they met on this trip. And they're like, yeah, who would be like crazy enough to, you know, drive an hour and a half to hang out with two dudes that you've never met before from Michigan? Like, who would do that? You know? And I was like, oh yeah, what kind of crazy person would do that? You know? Yeah. And yet, like, it was so much fun. And like, I was loving the day, and yet, and this is God's playfulness, right? Like I was looking through my binoculars. We were hunting. And my binoculars are old. Like I got them when I was a little kid, and that's what I've used. And I was kind of like using them glassing, you know, and like my eyes were kind of going cross-eyed because they're old and they're cheap, but I was like, whatever. And I literally like threw up a prayer. I was like, Lord, I probably need to get a new pair of binoculars, you know, before I go cross-eyed if I'm going to keep doing this. And we got to the end of the day, and it was just such a joy. And one of the guys looks over, and he's a rep for a bunch of outdoor gear companies. And he looks over and he's like, are you the one running those Bushnell binoculars? And I was like, yeah, I am. And nothing against Bushnell.
Please. They're not sponsoring the podcast though. So.
They're not sponsoring the podcast, but nothing against Bushnell. I was like, yeah, you know, I got them. And he just looks at me. He's like, can I give you a new pair of binoculars?
No, you can't. Like, no, I wouldn't let you do that. No way.
Well, and it was like, it was so crazy. I was like, I never said anything to anybody. I didn't mention anything. And so then he gives me this pair, and they were way more expensive than I would ever spend on a pair of binoculars. And
pretty cool, huh?
Oh, it was such this blessing. But then like literally I was driving home, and I sensed God just kind of poke me and be like, Kyle, this is my generosity and this is my economy. You had so much fun giving and serving these guys, and I wanted to give you an unspoken gift back. And the joy from the guy that gave you that gift was high as well. And yet you build these crazy friendships, and like, it was just, I love it. like, it's so interesting to me just how God does that in our world.
I do too. Generosity begets generosity. That's just true. But yeah, we don't live by that. We live by, you know, I got to hold on to what's mine, and I got to protect everything, and I got to see a good purpose in it, or I can't do it. Generosity begets, live generously in the world, and God will live generously with you as well as the people. You want to hear a freaking statistic I heard yesterday that is changing my world?
Okay.
And it relates to some of what we're talking about adulting, particularly the risk averse thing.
Yeah.
This came from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the Reagan administration. This is one of the top generals of his time. And he's done a lifelong study of what makes a general successful in battle and what makes a general fail in battle, in the fog of war, as he calls it. Here's the statistic, his research, a lifetime of research on this topic. This is what he came up with. A general going into a battle in the fog of war is misperceiving what's going on 95% of the time. A successful general is misperceiving 95% of the time. Defeated generals go into battle misperceiving 99% of the time. He says the difference is 4%.
Wow.
I can't even believe that.
Whoa.
Yeah, because our world and particularly expertise, particularly on this journey with God, you think it was a certainty. I've got to know this, and I can't wrap my head around it. All you've got to do is be 5% aware. Because I think the fog of war is one thing. The fog of adulthood is another. The fog of prayer is another. The fog of what's going on, mission, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
The human arrogance is somehow, I can be certain. If I can just get enough facts, I can be certain. The humility of a general that's saying, okay, I'm going to be 95% misperceiving what's going on, but I'm going to try and be right about that 4%. I'm going to find out enough about this that I can make enough right decisions that I'm going to be successful in war. That's the only gap. I mean, yes, would they like a general who's 95% perceiving right? Well, sure.
Yeah.
But in the fog of life and reality, it's just not reasonable. And I think I've heard this statistic. I thought this will drive perfectionists insane. No wonder.
Oh, absolutely.
No wonder they can't do anything. They're paralyzed. I don't know enough. You're never going to know enough. What I was encouraged by that, even with this growth I'm learning in prayer, because the things I'm praying about, I'm pretty sure that I'm misperceiving at least 95% of what's going on. I'm pretty sure I misperceive about 95% of who God is. I'm sure I misperceive. Yeah. In any situation we're in, particularly if we're assuming someone's motives or why did they do that, and how people ask me when somebody does something to me, they'll go, why do you think they did that? And I might, I think they probably did it because of this. And I'm going to be hopefully only 95% wrong about my perception of that, not 99% wrong. The humility of realizing I don't have everything, but the leaning into God, if you'll give me a glimpse of something, a glimpse is enough. I don't have to know everything. I just like that glimpse of, I think I'll put the word out and see if we'll do a class in adults and see if we can help adults, some kids who don't have it anywhere. Just that little nudge leads to something else. It doesn't have to be perfect, or going up and helping people on a turkey hunt. And the last 2 days, I've just kind of basked in this statistic going, this sets me free in so many ways. One, to be honest about how much I misperceive. And two, to be willing to say, that glimpse God's giving me is probably way more than enough. I don't need to know everything. And if I'm going to wait till I'm certain of the outcome, I'm going to be paralyzed. And that's maybe where those 99% generals are. They just can't make a decision because they don't feel like they know enough. And I don't know. I haven't done the reading that this guy's done on it, but I'm thinking that just now as I'm talking about going, that's probably a big factor. It's the reason the guy hid his talents, right? I'm afraid if I use my talent and I lose them, then the master's going to come be really angry. And really all God's asking us to do is just take the next step that I show you. You don't have to know anything more about the end of the age, how the polarity of the world, how the pandemic, how any of that. What you need to know is, I'll give you a little light today. Why don't you follow that 4%? And then I'll give you 4% tomorrow. And I'll give you, and be humble about, if you think you know everything, you're already a losing general. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the arrogance of that, you're dead. You're just not going to make it. But, or if you're embracing adulthood and going, man, it's scary getting into a romantic relationship, or Yeah, it is scary. My goodness, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times, right?
Absolutely.
The dating world. Yeah. I just found that so encouraging to say, let go, Wayne. You don't have to have it all figured out, and you don't have to act like you do. If you just lean into that percentage I show you, and I think people meeting with you on things like that, that can be that 4%, just the encouragement that someone's been down this road and survived it. I can go down this road too.
And I love that. I'm actually going to share that with I'm going to share that percentage with my two groups because that, like, we were literally last week, we were talking about giving ourselves permission to fail and to not know. And that it's okay to do that. It's okay to not have the 5-year plan, and it's okay to be in the present and say, okay, what's in front of me for today?
That's great.
And yet there's so much pressure to have it figured out, whether it be from the colleges or the career path. Like, literally every job application or job interview I've ever been on, they've asked, so what is your 5-year plan? I hate that question. I hate it.
Yeah, mine never worked.
Oh my gosh, mine either. And so I've just got to being honest and being like, look, these are the themes that I love doing in my life. And so my hope is in 5 years, I'm going to be operating out of these themes, whether it's in this job or another one. That's what I hope I'm doing.
Oh, that's awesome. I love the freedom of that. If people can have that freedom to go live that way in the world and watch God walk alongside them, you don't have to be certain. You have him after all. My goodness.
Yeah.
That'll be enough.
Yeah.
All righty, man. Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter.
You guys have a great weekend.
You as well.
Check in later.
Enjoy your mountains. I love it.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.